The Book of Pastoral Rule of St. Gregory the Great, Pontiff of Rome, to John, Bishop of the City of Ravenna. Part 1. Gregory, to his most reverend and most holy brother and fellow bishop, John. With kind and humble intent thou reprovest me, dear brother, for having wished by hiding myself to fly from the burdens of pastoral care. As to which, lest to some they should appear light, I express with my pen in the book before you all my own estimate of their heaviness, in order both that he who is free from them may not unwarily seek them, and that he who has so sought them may tremble for having got them. This book is divided into four separate heads of argument, that it may approach the reader's mind by allegations arranged in order, by certain steps, as it were. For as the necessity of things requires, we must especially consider after what manner every one should come to supreme rule, and, duly arriving at it, after what manner he should live, and, living well, after what manner he should teach, and teaching aright, with how great consideration every day he should become aware of his own infirmity, lest either humility fly from the approach, or life be at variance with the arrival, or teaching be wanting to the life, or presumption unduly exalt the teaching. Wherefore, let fear temper the desire. But afterwards, authority being assumed by one who sought it not, let his life commend it. But then, it is necessary that the good which is displayed in the life of the pastor should also be propagated by his speech. And at last it remains that, whatever works are brought to perfection, consideration of our own infirmity should depress us with regard to them, lest the swelling of elation extinguish even them before the eyes of hidden judgment. But, inasmuch as there are many, like me in unskilfulness, who, while they know not how to measure themselves, are covetous of teaching what they have not learned, who estimate lightly the burden of authority in proportion as they are ignorant of the pressure of its greatness. Let them be reproved from the very beginning of this book, so that while unlearned and precipitate, they desire to hold the citadel of teaching, they may be repelled at the very door of our discourse from the ventures of their precipitancy. Chapter 1. That the unskillful venture not to approach an office of authority. No one presumes to teach an art till he has first, with intent meditation, learnt it. What rashness is it, then, for the unskillful to assume pastoral authority, since the government of souls is the art of arts? For who can be ignorant that the sores of the thoughts of men are more occult than the sores of the bowels? Hidden occult. And yet, how often do men who have no knowledge whatever of spiritual precepts fearlessly profess themselves physicians of the heart, though those who are ignorant of the effect of drugs blush to appear as physicians of the flesh? But because, through the ordering of God, all the highest in rank of this present age are inclined to reverence religion, there are some who, through the outward show of rule within the Holy Church, affect the glory of distinction. They desire to appear as teachers. They covet superiority to others. And, as the truth attests, they seek the first salutations in the marketplace, the first rooms at feasts, the first seats in assemblies, being all the less able to administer worthily the office they have undertaken of pastoral care, as they have reached the magisterial position of humility out of elation only. For indeed, in a magisterial position, language itself is confounded when one thing is learnt and another taught. Against such, the Lord complains by the prophet, saying, "They have reigned, and not by me. They have been set up as princes, and I knew it not." for those reign of themselves, and not of the will of the supreme ruler, who, supported by no virtues, and in no way divinely called, but inflamed by their own desire, seize rather than attain supreme rule. But them the judge within both advances, and yet knows not, for whom by permission he tolerates them surely, by the judgment of reprobation he ignores. Whence to some who come to him, even after miracles, he says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I know you not who you are." The unskillfulness of shepherds is rebuked by the voice of the truth, when it is said through the prophet, "The shepherds themselves have not known understanding." Whom again the Lord denounces, saying, "And they that handle the law knew me not." And therefore the truth complains of not being known of them, and protests that he knows not the principality of those who know not him. Because in truth, these who know not the things of the Lord are unknown of the Lord, as Paul attests, who says, "But if any man knoweth not, he shall not be known." Yet this unskillfulness of the shepherds doubtless often suits the deserts of those who are subject to them, because though it is their own fault that they have not the light of knowledge, yet it is in the dealing of strict judgment that through their ignorance those also who follow them should stumble. Hence it is that in the gospel the truth in person says, "If the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch." Hence the psalmist, not expressing his own desire, but in his ministry as a prophet, denounces such when he says, "Let their eyes be blinded, that they see not, and ever bow thou down their back." For indeed, those persons are eyes, who, placed in the very face of the highest dignity, have undertaken the office of spying out the road, while those who are attached to them and follow them are denominated backs. And so when the eyes are blinded, the back is bent, because when those who go before lose the light of knowledge, those who follow are bowed down to carry the burden of their sins. Chapter 2. That none should enter on a place of government who practice not in life what they have learnt by study. There are some also who investigate spiritual precepts with cunning care, but what they penetrate with their understanding they trample on in their lives. All at once they teach the things which not by practice but by study they have learnt, and what in words they preach by their manners they impugn. Whence it comes to pass that when the shepherd walks through steep places, the flock follows to the precipice. Hence it is that the Lord, through the prophet, complains of the contemptible knowledge of shepherds, saying, "When ye yourselves had drunk most pure water, ye fouled the residue with your feet, and my sheep fed on that which had been trodden by your feet, and drank that which your feet had fouled." For indeed, the shepherds drink most pure water, when with a right understanding they imbibe the streams of truth. But to foul the same water with their feet is to corrupt the studies of holy meditation by evil living. And verily, the sheep drink the water fouled by their feet, when any of those subject to them follow not the words which they hear, but only imitate the bad examples which they see. Thirsting for the things said, but perverted by the works observed, they take in mud with their draughts, as from polluted fountains. Hence also it is written through the prophet, "A snare for the downfall of my people are evil priests." Hence again the Lord through the prophet says of the priests, "They are made to be a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel." For certainly no one does more harm in the church than one who has the name and rank of sanctity while he acts perversely. For him, when he transgresses, no one presumes to take to task, and the offense spreads forcibly by, for example, when out of reverence to his rank, the sinner is honored. But all who are unworthy would fly from the burden of so great guilt, if with the attentive ear of the heart they weighed the sentence of the truth. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. By the millstone is expressed the round and labor of worldly life, and by the depth of the sea is denoted final damnation. Whosoever, then, having come to bear the outward show of sanctity, either by word or example destroys others, it had indeed been better for him that earthly deeds in open guise should press him down to death, than that sacred offices should point him out to others as imitatable in his wrongdoing. Because surely, if he fell alone, the pains of hell would torment him in more tolerable degree. End of chapter 2.